We will continue our study of John chapter 6 today, and we'll look at verses 34 to 40. We find the well-known words of Jesus in verse 35. I am the bread of life. As always, let us prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. I want to refer again to 1 Corinthians 2:14, which says, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. As we continue in John 6, we will see that many people did not understand Jesus' words, and many stopped following him because they could not understand the things of God through the Spirit of God. They tried to understand what Jesus said through their own intellect and human logic. There's another verse that I'd like to quote along with 1 Corinthians 2:14. It is 1 Corinthians 2:12, which says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. This is a wonderful fact and promise. God has given us his Spirit so that we can understand the things God has freely given to us. The Holy Spirit lives in us and will speak to us as we seek him in the Scriptures. We will see in John chapter 6 why the Holy Spirit's help is so important when we study the Bible and try to understand Jesus' words. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your Spirit lives in us. We open our hearts and minds today and invite your Spirit to teach us, to lead us and speak to us. We know that we cannot understand without the help of your Spirit. Speak to us today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. So I am the bread of life, John 6, 34 to 40. Let's look at verse 34. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. What did Jesus mean when he said, I am the bread of life? And what promises are given in these verses? Jesus said in verse 35 again, I am the bread of life. This is the first of seven I am statements in John. Each emphasizes the centrality of Jesus as the only one who can sustain and satisfy the soul. He said, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, etc. He is the only one who can fill the emptiness of the human heart, and he is the only one who can heal the soul. Jesus himself is our food. He continually offers us his life. He desires to dwell in us and live his life through us. This is the essence of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The idea is not that we take one bite or have one meal and never have to eat again. We will never go hungry or thirsty as long as we continue to come to Jesus and continue to believe in him. When people hear Jesus' words, I am the bread of life, I think most are positive and may have a good feeling or image of these words. However, most people do not understand what Jesus was talking about. In fact, I think people are like the crowd in the story. They saw the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 and ate the bread Jesus provided. However, they wanted more bread and had other expectations. When they discovered that what Jesus meant when he said, I am the bread of life, most of them departed from him. Jesus himself is real food. Jesus was not talking about a vague feeling or philosophical theory or a theological teaching. He said, I am the bread. I am the food that you must eat to have life. As we have seen in John 5:39-40, Bible knowledge alone is not spiritual food unless we come to Jesus and receive his life through the Scriptures. The key is to believe in Jesus. The work that God wants us to do is to believe in his Son. Believing means to come to Christ and yield ourselves to him. It means to receive him into our heart, just as we intake food or drink into our body when we eat. When you eat, you internalize food. Thinking about eating is not the same as eating. Knowing nutritional facts is not the same as eating. Understanding how food is processed by the body is not the same as eating. To believe is to internalize the life of Jesus. It is to receive his life by the Spirit into your heart and soul. Thinking about Jesus is not the same as believing. Knowing facts about Jesus is not the same as believing. Understanding how Jesus saves a person is not the same as believing. We eat with our mouth, but we believe with our heart. We respond to Jesus by believing and trusting him in our heart. Would you like to grow? If so, you must feed on Jesus. We feed on Jesus by coming to him and trusting him step by step in our everyday lives. We choose to open our hearts to him and receive him into our hearts, as it says in Revelation 3:20, as Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." These words were spoken to Jesus, to believers, to us. He continually invites us, "Come to me." He promises that if we open the door of our hearts, that he will come in and fellowship with us. Verse 37, "All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Salvation is a work of the Father. He draws people to himself and gives them an understanding or revelation of his love, grace, and salvation through Jesus. People come to Jesus because the Father has worked in their hearts so that they can believe. And the wonderful promise in verse 37 is that whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Jesus receives everyone who comes to him and promises that he will never reject us or drive us away from himself. Election and free will are both seen in this verse. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. God must work in someone's heart for them to believe and come to Jesus. "And him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out," is also true. We decide to come to him. This is free will. I believe that we are chosen or elected by God, but that also we must choose to believe and follow Jesus. I know many committed believers and Bible teachers explain this differently than I do. I respect them and will not argue with them, but want to state my beliefs clearly and simply. Jesus came to do the Father's will. It was the Father's will that he die on the cross for our sins so that you can be born again. But you have to come to him. That is the only way for you to be saved. You must come to the Lord Jesus by faith. Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." This verse is much like John 5:30, when Jesus said, "I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." In this verse, John 5:38, Jesus said, "I have come not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Jesus was not focused on pleasing himself or doing his own will, but on pleasing the Father and doing his will. Jesus made several statements like these in the Gospel of John. Jesus was laser-focused on doing the will of his Father who sent him. As disciples of Jesus, this must be our clear focus, not to do my will, but to do the will of the Father. As I read this verse, I become keenly aware that sometimes I am focused on doing the Father's will, but sometimes I am focused on doing my own will. Focusing on doing the Father's will is not hard to understand, but is hard to do because of our sin nature. We naturally do the opposite. We seek to please ourselves and seek to do our own will. Also, we're very good at justifying our own will and not focusing on the will of God. Jesus, teach me how to do the Father's will, not mine. I know your will is best. Forgive me for letting my heart stray from your will. Teach me today how to stay focused on your will and not mine. So how can I trust and obey Jesus? This is a thought I wrote down in my devotional time on this passage. I wrote, ask the following question at least three times a day this week. Is my main focus to do the will of the Father who sent me? Pray and ask Jesus to teach me how to do the Father's will and not my own will. When you do know something is the Father's will, do it immediately and trust him to lead you and empower you to do it. This is my application of this teaching. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So what do these verses teach about the Father's will and what promises are given? This was one of the meditation questions. Well, Jesus talked a lot in the Gospel of John and in this chapter about doing the Father's will. He said the following are the Father's will. One, that Jesus would lose none of those the Father gives him. Two, that he will raise them up on the last day. And three, that everyone who looks to Jesus and believes in him will have eternal life. These are all the will of the Father. The work of salvation was accomplished by Jesus on the cross. To those who believe, he promises that he will raise them up on the last day and we will have eternal life. Jesus knew the will of the Father. If we genuinely seek to know the Father's will, he will reveal it to us. Sometimes we make knowing God's will complicated and mystical, but I believe that if we love him and are committed to obeying him, obeying his will, he will show it to us. I would like to challenge you all to consider the same question I wrote in my devotions on this passage. Is my main focus to do the will of the Father who sent me? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus, who is the bread of life. You fill us, sustain us, and satisfy our souls with the life of Christ, who lives in us. Teach us how to eat. Teach us how to feed on Jesus every day.